And we're on.
Jamie, hello.
Hey, Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm good. Having a good day.
Yeah. What have you done so far?
Nothing. Just
nice.
Walked here. Yeah.
Nice.
Ate a sandwich. Started out a little bit hungover.
What'd you do last night?
Did three spots. So I did the Clubhouse at 8, and then Atomic Comedy at 9, and then Mint Bar got there around 9:30.
Into
that
nice.
Show. And I
which one was your favorite? No, I'm kidding.
the Clubhouse one.
well, it was a full house.
Full house. It's always great. The night though, I'm in like kind of an internal conflict about my relationship to dark comedy, and like because I used to not do it at all, and now it's like I can't help myself. So the first show I did some dark stuff, and then the second show half, and then the last show I just fucking all in, all dark, and somebody told the host that I went too far, and I don't even know which thing it could have been.
Wait, how dark were you? I do dark comedy. Like
the last audience was really sensitive, so I here's a joke. It was what?
Mint Bar. Yeah, they're not really like a comedy audience. They're like, we want to go out and laugh.
There's a lot of French people.
Yeah.
A joke that got ooze that never gets ooze because it's not that big a deal. So I'm face blind and I can't follow movies and TV.
Wait, are you face blind?
Yeah.
Holy shit. How'd you know it was me?
Oh, I like you're distinctive. And, and voices, and you were walking towards me waving. So
yeah.
It's not like it's a spectrum like anything. So I'm the bottom 1% of recognizing faces.
Holy shit.
Did a study on that. But I can still, I'm not like disabled. You know, it's difficult for me to. Anyway, that's the premise for the joke that got the ooze, and the setup is that I get confused with movies and TV. I can't follow them, the characters.
Right.
So I love Squid Game because they're all numbered. And that got ooze. It's like, what are you even oohing at? It's vaguely almost like touching racism.
But the joke is that like, well, actually, I don't know if the joke you make is that like all like white people think that like
that's definitely in there.
Yeah,
but I'm not even saying that,
right?
You know, so it's and I said a lot worse stuff than that.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
that's funny. Wait, so I didn't introduce you. So we have Jordan Thomas Gray here in the Comedy Confession Booth, visiting from. Where are you based now? Poland, right?
Poland. Yeah. Warsaw.
That is so fucking cool.
I would say.
Well, yeah. I mean, we get people from Berlin all the time and like London. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, and like the States. It's like, okay, be boring. And then you're like, yeah, no, I live in Poland. Like, no one lives in Poland.
There's a few people there.
That's crazy.
There's a scene too. So in Warsaw, we've got like 4 or 5 shows a week.
Nice.
In English. A lot of great comics, very funny. The audiences, I think, are hello.
There's a man staring at us in the window, like very, very aggressively.
Yeah.
Like
his tongue is out.
It's pretty weird for people to just come right up.
Do you know him?
No.
Oh.
I don't know this man.
Wow.
Yeah. This is weird.
I'm going to take a photo of him.
Yeah, just do that, and I'll edit it and post. I'll throw it in.
Here he is. Here's this guy.
That's the man.
Yep, he's looking at the screen. Hello.
He thinks he really wants to be part of something.
I don't know if he's...
I don't know if he knows that we only get like maybe like 20 listeners per podcast.
Yeah. This is like the behavior of either someone who's drunk or like a sober person that just has become insane.
Yeah.
Day-to-day
over
life.
Time. It's just weird because you'd expect that he would be, oh, he's about to moon us. No. Okay.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. Probably post brunch.
Post brunch. Yeah. Everyone has off work today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Easter.
Or Shmingus Dingus in Poland.
Easter
is Shmingus Dingus. This is a real holiday.
No.
Dingus Day. This is real. I'm not making this up. What it is basically, boys chase around girls and then throw water on them. And then in some places, they hit them with pussy willow branches. This is all on Wikipedia. Shmingus Dingus. Happy
Holy,
Shmingus Dingus.
Oh my God. Shmingus Dingus. Is that because it's April 1st or is it because it's Easter Monday?
It's some like pagan tradition.
that dates
back
fucking
centuries.
Amazing.
Small towns, they still actively engage in it. And it's,
I want to engage in that. I would love boys to chase me.
Uh-huh. And the obvious joke, make you wet.
And then make me wet. Dump on me, whatever. Yeah. I mean, the ones that do chase on me tend to do that anyway. So, wow, Schmingus Dingus, get out of here.
Schmingus Dingus.
So what made you move to Poland?
I lived in New York for a while, and my girlfriend was Polish. And it's hard to tell the story without just doing
Mariah's on a tour, so we're going to wave to Mariah.
Well, a lot of her tour people. I feel like I'm on Good Morning America.
Yeah, it does feel kind of special, right? We're like, oh my God, everyone thinks we're famous.
The story is like in my show, so now it's only a bit to me.
Okay.
Like, it's hard even to have a conversation about it without
just... Tell it as a bit. I don't care.
All right. Well...
We'll keep it entertaining.
So in New York... my girlfriend was Polish. We both wanted to leave. She wanted to move to Poland to be close to her family. And I've always wanted to live in Europe. So I figured Poland's close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's almost there.
Nice. That's,
then at a show, people would laugh.
Yeah. It is weird, like saying like jokes in conversation. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, wait, this is funny. But in conversation, it's just not.
There's a reality TV episode about me moving there.
Really?
House Hunters International.
Stop.
Yeah. And it's, they wanted it to, because we broke up before the move.
Okay. I was going to say, are you still together?
I moved alone, even, because I'd already found a job and everything. And it was a great life transition. Like, it was nice.
Yeah.
New York is fantastic, but it really grinds you down.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to move back at some point.
Really?
For stand up, because it's not the only place to get like really good, but it's like, if you really want to suffer and improve through that. I've been there a couple times in the past couple years just to do the mics and shows. And you do improve really quickly. But here, you can do multiple spots a day if you're into that. So I don't know if it's worth the suffering.
Yeah, I moved here from New York because I was like, New York is like, yeah, you can do a bunch of spots a day. And I would say of every city I've been to, New York has the most mics where you can just rock up and be like, I want to try this, right? Like, you could go to 3 or 4 mics a night if you have the ability and time.
And $5 per.
Yeah, $5 per mic to pay for it, right? Which, you know, you just don't eat, right?
Yeah, you just don't eat. And then, like, when were you there?
I lived there 2016. I really hustled in comedy there 2016 to 2018.
I think I wasn't doing comedy then.
Yeah.
I think COVID wiped things clean.
Mm-hmm.
And now things are different. I didn't know what they were like before, but they definitely, seems like things changed.
In what way do you think they're different? They definitely did change, but I'm curious.
Every mic almost is pay $5 or $6 to go up. That's one thing. And the, I don't know if it was like this before, but it seems like there's the open mic grinded out scene. And then to claw out of that, basically you start doing free shows and using those actual shows, like not mics, to test material. And then from there, the top is Comedy Cellar. I'm talking about out of my ass. I don't know. but yeah, that's what it seems like, that you can learn a lot doing the mics, but really performing in front of 8 comedians who don't want to watch you, and it might be 2 comedians if you're going last. And it's, if you do well in that environment, the jokes are solid.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily translate to performing in front of an audience.
Exactly. And I'll say, like, you would often see in New York comedians doing jokes for comedians at the mics, because it's like, well, you know, whatever. But then it's like, well, you can't use that in front of a regular audience anyway.
Yeah. It's a whole different experience.
Yeah.
But here you can perform in front of, try stuff out in front of an amazing audience.
Yeah. It's
like
kinda
most
wild.
Nights. It's great. I'm probably going to, I'm in a transitional. I want to leave
Poland.
I get it.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
No, the audience is
not that I've ever been to Poland.
I love Poland. Polish people are great. Everyone's great.
Do you speak Polish?
No, less and less every day. and if I'm gonna leave, like, there's no point.
I'm slowly unlearning Polish.
Yeah, the audiences are challenging because the English comprehension is pretty low. It'll be like half expats, half Polish people and Ukrainians and Belarusians who are technically expats, but whatever.
Right.
And so if half the audience doesn't understand a lot of the words you were saying, there's a roof to how well some things can go, especially if you're doing any kind of heady stuff. If they're spending half their mental energy trying to understand you, they don't have left over the energy
to
get your jokes. And you have to pause for like 3 to 4 seconds sometimes just to let them catch up. So it's really nice to be here or New York or anywhere else where they just kind
of
get it.
The New York of Europe.
Yeah, I was getting comedy-wise. There's Berlin. Berlin's probably the...
I would say Berlin's like the New York.
The New York. But this is like the Austin, Texas?
Yeah. We've been compared to Chicago. Like, I think those two, like Austin and Chicago, I find quite similar. Not that I've been for comedy, but as cities in general, like I think if I moved back to the States, I'd move to one of those cities.
Yeah. So there's that thing with the audiences being difficult. And like, I think it does sharpen you, but it can also make your comedy worse if you're having to, it's making me sound pretentious, but I don't care.
No, that's fine.
If you're having to dumb it down and make it more universal, that's good and bad. Like your shows on the road go better, because if it works there, it's going to work most places. But like, I'm finding I don't really get to do the stuff that I like to do. And I'll have people complain if I don't make jokes about Poland. Because of my Instagram, I've done a lot of jokes about Poland.
Yeah.
And that's what people find me. And if they don't get that at the show, some people are like, I get, not often, but messages like, you should do more local stuff. We would really appreciate that. And it's like, I just don't want to.
Yeah, it's just like not what I want to joke about.
I've done it to death at this point.
Yeah. That's fair. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So how did you get into comedy?
Like most comedians, sell an open mic. And I was like, I could probably do that.
Have you listened to this podcast? Because that's literally everyone is like, I saw some people be shit. And I was like, I could do that.
Yeah. And then you realize how hard it is. How was your first open mic experience?
My first open mic was here in Barcelona, actually. And I, in 2015, November 2015. And I had always wanted to try comedy, but I lived in New York before then and it was way too intimidating. So when I moved here, I was like, oh, perfect opportunity to try comedy. And I went to an improv class and a bunch of the people there were like, yeah, we do an open mic. Like there's like a 2 shows a week here, maybe. Like it was really small back then. Yeah. And so I went to see it and I was like, oh, no one here even speaks English. I'll be way better than them. Like I did theater all my life, you know. So I did my first one. I invited the people that I was working with, like at the school where I was working. And a few teachers came, a few of my friends came, like a couple random people I met in a club one night came. I think I had like 10 or 11 people come to support. And I felt like I did pretty well on my first open mic because I like rehearsed. You know, there's like 2 types of people when you start. There's the type where you have the jokes in your head for so long that you write it down and you rehearse it like a script and you're like, okay, I've got it. And then there's a type where you're like, ah, I'm just going to fuck her up.
Yeah, vibes.
Yeah. So that's, I rehearsed and was like, okay, this is solid. And then after that, I was like, I'm hilarious. So my second one was total shit.
Exact same experience.
Yeah.
I went in, my first one, I did pretty well, objectively. I have that recording of that one on YouTube that I should take.
I'm going to go find it.
It's exclusively stuff that I cringe at now. But it worked. It worked in the room, though. So, but now a lot of it's like stuff about Poland and like, you know, stuff that many people have thought of.
Right.
I would say.
Sure.
I hope. And I was playing guitar during.
Yeah, because you're also musical.
I am. I'm also having internal conflict about that.
Really? Why?
I like doing the musical comedy. But I've really trying for the last year been focusing on like just the craft of the doing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And because the songs, I haven't written a comedy song in a year.
Yeah.
And
it's so hard to write a comedy song.
It is. And you feel like you don't have any more ideas.
Yeah.
After your first 5 or so ones that, so now I have 5 songs that work. I do them at solo shows because it breaks things up.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to... I just need to write more songs. Also, traveling with a guitar and an amplifier fucking sucks, dude.
So hard.
So expensive as well. It's an extra.
Just switch to the ukulele.
I've thought about it. I have a couple ukuleles. I like the uke, but guitar is just the instrument that I understand the best. I barely understand it, but I understand it better than ukulele.
And also, like, in all fairness, like, ukulele has a personality. So it's like you're doing something specific when you're like, I'm starting to bring in piano. I'm going to try and start to bring in piano because it's like there's some songs that I'm like with ukulele. It's just like the point is not for it to be like a cutesy song. Like the point is for it to have some sort of like.
You could add distortion and just see what that, because if you can plug in, you could.
If
you can plug in, you can add any kind of effects. So
that's
true. You could change the sound. You could bring it down an octave even.
Oh.
With pedals. So you might want to just try fucking around
with
the sound of it. You could do like a metal song on it with pedals, for instance.
That'd be amazing. Do you play with pedals?
I just have an amp that has all the effects built in. And at this point, the use of the songs is so business oriented of like, okay, it's going to be here. It's going to break up the show. People are going to like it and it serves a purpose. And I just basically set the amp to a specific setting that sounds good and I don't even fuck with it.
Nice.
You know, I used to have all these pedals and like a vocal transformer and like do crazy shit. And then I felt like I was just doing that to be like, look at me, look at all the stuff I can do. And it didn't feel like it was helping the comedy.
Yeah, I find that like stuff like that, it's really hard to keep it funny when you're like, I'm doing something impressive. People are going to enjoy it and they'll be impressed. Mm-hmm. But like, does it serve the comedy?
It's also, it's important to stand out because otherwise it's easier to be a comedian who's like pretty good and musical and known for that than it is to be like known for being just extremely funny.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. But if you can get to extremely funny and musical, there's very few comedians like that.
There's
Bo Burnham, Tim Minchin.
They're both my favorite. They're my top two.
There's a lot, but compared to just comedians, it is a way to stand out. So I've been thinking about whether to focus more on writing songs or just like give up the guitar for a while and just do the show talky-wise, which is a little scary to me.
That's scary.
Yeah. It's
the instrument becomes like, oh my God, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a safeguard, like a comfort.
Yeah. Like, it's also, its songs are so repeatable.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to fuck it up. If the song, like, it works
Do you
well.
Ever forget the words to your songs?
No.
That's nice.
Sometimes I'll skip verses, and then I'll find that it still worked.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll just remove that verse.
Nice.
Yeah. I've only been too drunk on stage once, and that was in Bydgoszcz, a city in Poland.
Whoa.
There's a lot of S's and C's and Z's. Bydgoszcz, first half was fine, but I was drinking these like 8% beers, and then we had the first half, and then we had the break, and then I got up on stage in the second half, and like had my guitar, because I start with a song, and I was like, I don't know if my fingers are going to be able to do the things that they're going to need to be able to do to play this.
Oh, my God.
And it was just like white knuckling this song, just like right at the fucking very edge of being able to do it, and fucked up a few chords, which I almost never do. But nobody seemed to notice. I think they just thought I was bad at guitar. No one thought I was drunk. I was even like, I did some crowd work and a guy was talking about how he was on a TV show and he was drunk on the TV show.
Fun.
And I was like, well, we've all been drunk in a performance context, right? But nobody laughed because nobody kind of read into.
Do they get sarcasm in Poland?
Good question. I think so. They get a lot of stuff. Polish people are extremely smart. And like any country, the country's kind of split. There are people that get super easily offended. It seems like now every time I have a viral joke on Instagram about Poland, it's a little bit critical of Poland, and it's viral, but I lose followers.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I did one about how Polish people are pretty racist, which is true.
I think all like European countries are a little bit racist.
I was thinking about how it a little felt like cheating because I could just go into any country and be like, you guys are racist. And then leave. And then, I should just do that in every country.
Legit. I mean, I don't know if you know about Spain's specific racism, but it's like an ignorant racism. It's not like it's not like we hate people of a certain race. It's just that like the shops here are called Packies, which in the UK is a bad word. Like that's like the N word in the UK. And then they have the shops called Chinos, which is also not appropriate. And then like, I don't know, a Catalan friend once asked like a black friend if he could touch her hair. He was like, oh, like started to touch her hair. And she was like, no. And he's like, but it looks so fun to touch. I'm like, you can't fucking say that to people. Like, are you stupid? So that's the type of racism we have.
Yeah, ignorance. In Poland, there's an energy drink called Black. And in case you were confused about what they were going for, the mascot is Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay. So they, yeah. they were fully just going for
black,
it.
Black energy.
black energy. Yeah.
There's some comedians that have done jokes about that. I'm not stealing that. That's just, it's just in there. It's just out there. Just in the, it's just in the ether.
They've just
that,
done
yeah,
it.
Yeah, black energy. Yeah.
It's oh, my God. Okay, wait. I don't think we finished the story of how you got into stand-up.
Okay.
Because you went to a mic. You did pretty well.
Similar experience to you.
Yeah.
Pretty well with the guitar. I was looping and stuff.
Like, oh, cool.
Doing music under the jokes, which I don't do anymore because it was...
I've played with that and it's hard.
It's hard. It gives it a rhythm naturally and it like it can also... You can use little accents to like almost tell people when to laugh. And,
right.
Like, it's really interesting, but it was way too constraining after a while. I couldn't adapt. I couldn't like... do crowd work, especially with the looping, because it's like, you know, I can stop the loop pedal. But anyway,
yeah,
went really well and then went into my second mic totally overconfident. I was like, and it's all going to be the same people from last time. They're going to know I did great. So I'm even going to reference jokes I did last time. And it's going to be like a whole, and I'm going to be famous by mic 10. And
oh my God.
You know, just so you go into that. And then I just ate shit. Just like, and the first time that happens, you don't know what you're like. Why aren't they laughing? And you have zero tools.
Yeah.
To bring them back.
Exactly.
So it's like even been. I think some comedian called it like being punched in the face. So you're just like
being punched in the face by Mike Tyson specifically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. After you drink a black energy. and then I worked my way back up to being funny from there.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah, you get back to it after your first bomb. It's a real learning experience.
Yeah. How did you know you wanted to do it? Like, aside from just going to a mic?
Oh,
like,
just the
what's
first...
What's your background?
I never thought I was allowed to do stand-up.
Mm.
Fundamentally a very insecure person, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, no, but it's
You have
on
a
it.
Confident energy to me.
Right? It's yeah. weird. I don't understand it either.
I think it's because you're a white guy, I'm going to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah, walking through the world like a reasonably tall, reasonably attractive white guy.
Yeah.
So I've not had any problems. So I worked in music for a while. I did classical music, audio engineering. I have a grad degree in philosophy.
Oh, shit.
I worked in documentary film for a while.
Oh, my God.
And I ended
okay.
up in marketing. Stand-up, I just thought I wouldn't be allowed to do it or something. That was for, like, cool people.
yeah. And then you learn, if you're cool and doing stand-up, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, it's we're all dorks.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yes, so... lost my train of thought. I'll get back to it.
It's okay. You worked in
we'll
documentaries. It's okay. Oh. I don't really post edit like time wise. Okay. So if you say anything controversial, it's gonna stay in.
Hitler's paintings were pretty good. I don't know if you've seen them. They're not bad.
You know what? If his art teacher said that, we would never have had the Holocaust.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I think people imagine like child's drawings. No, they're like impressive. They're...
Anyway. Do you have any?
yeah, it's my phone wallpaper. Okay.
I'm a big fan of Hitler, not the Holocaust, just his paintings.
So why stand up? I think like many people, I was just addicted to it from the first mic.
Yeah.
I had this incredible high from it. I called all my friends. I was like, I think I did too well because now I'm going to be insane about this, you know, and now I think I'm God. And this is like a little moment, which your first bomb just obliterates all that.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Stand up is so builds you up and then humbles you constantly. It's
yeah.
such a roller coaster.
It really like emotionally, it's like, I don't know. Do you go to therapy?
I have graduated therapy twice.
Wow. You're twice healed.
Yes, twice healed. I first went I was working a job I hated and was just crying at work every day and miserable.
I've done that.
Yeah. And
what was the job you hated?
I don't know.
You don't have
my
to say
coworkers.
You don't have to say like gonna, the job itself, but like what kind of thing were you doing?
It was marketing for a data science company.
Yeah, yeah.
They were great. It's just I was going through a thing where I got extremely ill and couldn't walk.
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
After COVID, and it's called reactive arthritis.
Holy shit!
And I was like just not leaving my apartment. I was only working. And it was my entire life. And I was just miserable.
In New York?
This was in Poland.
Oh,
somehow.
In Poland.
Yeah.
Holy
my job
shit.
In New York was pretty chill.
Nice.
Like, and then I moved to Poland and I have all this new responsibility and I'm like leading a team and the company's like growing. And so went to therapy and she was like, quit your job. And I was like, that is insane.
Yeah.
Like no like, one would what? Do what? Eventually I did quit after my father died. And
oh shit, I'm sorry.
Where the fuck am I going with this?
I don't know. I have no idea. I forgot what question I asked, but
therapy. Yes. Yeah. So I just kind of got out of that. I made the job work, actually. And my therapist was like, when you first came to me, you were crying every day. And now you're kind of just chatting about your weekend. And I kind of don't think you need this anymore.
Nice.
And then my dad died. And then I went back to therapy.
Yeah.
And then again, this happened three times. then got through it, and then she was like, I think you're good. And then
what a strange therapist to be like, you're good.
Well, then my friend died.
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Fentanyl. It's been a pretty fun few years.
Holy fuck.
Ever since I started stand up, people are dropping like flies. But
is that your fault?
It is me. Yeah, it's.
I'm kidding. It's
they're
totally
they're
not
watching
your fault.
What I'm doing and making life decisions based on that.
No.
But the third time went to therapy after a friend died. A different therapist, and she was like,
good.
"I think we're. You don't see. Yeah.
I've never had a therapist tell me I'm healed.
Huh. Well, maybe they're just trying to keep that money coming in.
Yeah, you know? I think that's what it is. Yeah, like, I think that I'm easier to convince. Yeah. Like I think they probably are like. He's a white man. He's not going to fall for it, you know?
Yeah. But. And I do, my last therapist, I think was pretty good. It could have been just that she was British and I thought her accent made her sound smart.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a lot of it. But,
yeah.
But she helped a lot.
No, an accent means everything. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who, his therapist was German. And he was like, I love going because he was like, I love that he's German because I feel like I'm getting therapized like by Freud himself.
Mm.
like therapy should be in German.
Literally, tell me about Tsumasa.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Freud, daddy.
There were a lot of Germans at one of the shows last night.
Oh, shit.
I think I did.
Oh, and Atomic.
Atomic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I went and met up with them after.
This is what I'm talking about with the dark stuff. I don't even think this is that good, but like the first thing, Stuart, the host,
mm-hmm.
was talking to one of the German guys, and that guy was a carpenter.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, like, you're like Jesus. Jesus was a carpenter.
Yeah.
And I get on stage, and I'm like, I'm not like a history guy, but Jesus wasn't German. You know, what would Jesus do? Probably not kill 6 million Jews. And I started with that. I don't know why I shoot myself in the fucking foot.
No, it's funny.
Like the comedians laugh and the room, they're like a little on edge.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I love fucking with Germans. Yeah. Like you kind of have to. Oh, wow. I'm really good at telling time. We're at 28 minutes.
Oh,
I
nice.
Have a very good internal clock, okay. Apparently.
Are we going to pause for a second?
No, I'm just going to kind of do it like okay. as we talk. It's fine.
I'm trying to quit nicotine.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm failing. I'm not going to vape. Don't
you
worry.
Can vape. It's okay. Someone did it in the last one.
I'm very against these pouches.
What are they?
Every like big podcast is like, oh, these? Like it's like an advertisement all the time.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want to. Don't do it, kids. It's very bad.
But every episode has kind of been like fake sponsored. Mm-hmm.
Velo. Nicotine pouches for when you want to put your fingers in your mouth. That's, yeah.
What if I want to put my fingers in my mouth without nicotine?
You can do that anytime.
Nice.
You could dip them in stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Somebody asked me if I do these pouches socially. No, it's not like smoking. You're not like putting pouches in each other's mouths standing outside.
What does it mean? Like thing. You can't do a pouch socially.
Yeah.
What is it? It's just like a little like...
It's flavoring and pure nicotine. So it's, but they make me feel good and then I feel bad, you know, and it's not worth the washout. So I've quit a few times, and I'm working on quitting again.
I have faith in you.
Yeah.
I think you can do it.
I don't have much.
How did you take up smoking?
I never smoked.
So
I started with the pouches.
No.
I know. I know.
That's so lame.
I know.
Just smoke.
I'm a fucking dweeb. And then I tried to quit. I quit the pouches and then I started vaping.
Yeah.
And just more and more, like, the older I get, the more I become like a teenage girl. I have a vape that's like ice cream flavored in my bag. And it tastes like ice cream, but
that
the
sounds
experience
amazing.
Is like, well, there's a reason you don't literally inhale scoops of ice cream. It like feels weird.
Yeah. Also, like, what flavor is like ice cream? Because ice cream has many different flavors. Like, there's no generic ice cream.
I mean, do you want to try it?
Yeah, I kind of do. I'm so curious. I don't really vape, but I had a Juul phase, so.
It like smells like ice cream too. Isn't it kind of like, it's delicious, but it's too much.
Whoa.
It's too much of whatever it's trying to be.
I think it's kind of like the cone, like the flavor of the cone.
Awesome.
It smells amazing. Yeah. Ice cream.
Elf Bar. Elf Bar 2000. 2000 puffs for the
Whoa.
Price of 700 puffs.
Nice.
Elf
How much
Bar.
Is that?
Put it in your mouth. At 15 euros. It's a pretty expensive habit.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I'm all or nothing with my addictions, so if I'm really in it, I'll do one every 2 days, and that really adds up.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's yummy, though. And also, I'm drinking like a iced chai tea latte. I feel like the combination is like...
Mm. I just feel like the ice cream chemicals are giving... I can feel them giving me lung cancer.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have enough data yet, but it cannot be good to be breathing ice cream.
I don't know if it's like the chemicals of the ice cream. I think it's the other shit that you're breathing.
Well, it's propylene glycol, nicotine, any kind of chemicals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not smoke, but it's still something.
It's
not
something.
Nothing.
I know. I started taking up, I've been trying to quit drinking.
Hmm.
So I smoke a lot more weed now as a replacement. Cause,
you doing California Ramadan?
Yeah, baby. Yeah. You know, I've been saying California sober, but I've started reintroducing alcohol in like, not a controlled way, but like, I had a couple glasses of wine on Saturday night while hosting Lolly Amorous. So it was kind of like, I'm trying to just like not drink to get drunk and not do that very often. Maybe get drunk once a month sort of vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. I quit for 2 weeks before coming here.
Yeah.
And just I do it every year, at least a month off.
Nice.
Usually in August.
Just, it really resets your body.
It really does. And then you don't, it wipes the slate clean with your habits. So you don't habitually drink as much anymore. And then the habitual drinking can slowly start building up and then you take another break.
Yeah.
And it's probably better to not drink at all. But I'll say doing stand up totally sober for 2 weeks and then coming here and doing it a few beers in, really, really fun.
Yeah.
After just being like totally mentally clear and present and being like at a little tense, just being able to just be loose and fuck around.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
There's something really nice with like a little bit of chaos.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, no, it's fun. Do you have like, what's your relationship with alcohol?
Well, my father was a high functioning alcoholic, which is why I'm a high functioning autistic.
Oh,
that's not funny. That's a, just a little.
Is that real or is that a joke?
No, I'm not autistic. It's a spectrum. My brother's kind of autistic. I think it's fine. My relationship with alcohol. I think I drink too often, like most comedians, because if you're performing 5 nights a week...
and you get free drinks.
Free drinks. Everyone else is drinking. Although there's a bit of a sober movement now in stand-up especially. And in New York, if you go, like, there's whole sober stand-up communities that don't want to, like, do the whole, let's hang out and get blitzed after the show. They just want to not do that. So that's nice. And in Warsaw, I'd say... a good chunk of the comedians just don't drink and it's not a thing.
That's cool. Same here, actually. Yeah. A lot of people have quit drinking. I'm not going to name names because that's like their own thing. But I mean, when I was like, I'm not really drinking anymore. I mean, we have here at the clubhouse, we have 00 beers. Mm-hmm. And I would say like John Alice, the owner, and I drink a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I think mostly they're being drunk by comedians as like our free drink. And I was like, yeah, we're probably not making any money on those. And he was like, yeah, but it's an investment because it keeps us like level headed and healthy. And obviously like the price of other beers that people are buying makes up for it. But
And they taste good.
Yeah.
I was having them when I was taking my time off, and I was like, damn, this makes me want a real one.
Yeah. I know, but it does give you a bit of that same feeling of like at the end of a long day when you're like, man, I just want a sip of beer and just want to like, like you still feel that when you have a non-alcoholic one.
And just having one on stage just as something to take a drink. I think it's so funny when people take a long drink when people aren't laughing. I love a lot of meta comedy stuff. I'm kind of a nuisance at some mics in Warsaw because I just, this has been said before, but like there's nothing funnier. Stand up is about trying to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And comedy is about like subverting expectations. So a person trying to make people laugh and then not laughing is hilarious. So There was a period when I had less self-control where I feel bad about this, but I could, you know, it was involuntary. A new comedian would be like bombing, and then I would start laughing, and then they would get encouraged because they heard someone laughing. And then I see them going like down the wrong path with like, oh, this is working great. And just like really doubling down on stuff that just they really shouldn't be. And I think that's even funnier. And so and then eventually my laughter gets contagious and other people start laughing. And it's just, it's really, but it's not good for them because they think that material is going to work. But if there's not a guy in the back who is appreciating it on this perverse level,
who's not appreciating that it's not working.
I that's the most fun I have though.
That is so fun. Well, Shitty Mike's gonna be fun tonight.
Okay,
then
cool. Yeah.
We're also doing an April Fool's theme Shitty Mike. Nice. So feel free to prank us.
Okay. I really try to keep it because it can be considered heckling when, and my cackle is like pretty distinctive. And
nice.
I also snort if I'm really into it. So it's in the Warsaw scene, another comedian was like, if you hear that laugh, you're eating shit. I don't feel good about it, but it's
that's amazing. What are like your favorite what types of jokes are you working on now? Like, what are your...
I keep going dark lately. I have some stuff from last night. I have this joke. Sometimes you write a joke that you really believe in, like you think it's funny, and nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Like, it just takes time.
Yeah. A thought I had recently is like, so my dad died 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when...
do you mind if I ask how he died?
COVID.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I have a little bit about that because around Christmas, he died of COVID.
Oh, wow.
And one of the bits is, and people get weird about that. They start talking about conspiracy theories and they're like, you know, Santa Claus isn't even real. Christmas presents give you autism. I did do a lot of dead dad stuff last year at my shows. And I did have in Poland people coming up to me after being like, you know, COVID's not real. And I was like, I'll call my dad and quit hiding. You know,
like,
we're going to uncremate you.
Fuck? That's so like insensitive and rude.
But my dad died 2 years ago. And the thought I had was, so when girls call me daddy, I get really offended. Which I think is a funny thought, but it's never worked.
I think that's really funny.
I think I need to mention my dad is dead way earlier so people get used to the idea.
I think also like, so that to me is like an A to C joke, you know, like sometimes I'll write a joke, especially when I'm writing roast jokes, I'll skip a connection and it makes sense to me, but it doesn't make sense to anyone else. And I think that's an ADHD brain thing where you're like, yeah, duh. And like, to me, that makes a lot of sense.
Because it's your brain.
Yeah. Because I'm like, yeah. Like I'm connecting the dots myself. But I think people with normal brains might not, like they might need an extra little like.
Or people who aren't dead inside.
Through
constantly using language as a tool to get laughter.
And validation
and validation, and you end up totally divorcing the use of language from any kind of morality. Like, morality is over here, mm-hmm. language is over here. That's just fun communication tool to have fun.
Right.
So, and you end up start talking about like death and murder and stuff. Like, yeah. But you got to ease people into it. With this joke, it continues that. So I get offended because they call me daddy,
right?
Which also never happened. No one calls me daddy.
Yeah, I'm like, who's calling you daddy?
I do. Look
I would
a
call
bit...
you mommy before I'd call you daddy.
Yeah, I do look a little bit divorced.
Yeah,
but like I pay my child support on time. But
that's a very funny joke.
And I'm like, hey, be respectful. Like, okay, and they just think I'm doing a daddy character, like I'm role playing. Right. And I say stuff that my dad would say. I get into it. I'm like, you're not smart enough to be a doctor like me, Jordan. It's really sexy. But it's not been working.
You'll get it there. You will get it there. When you believe in a joke, you will find a way. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had this joke for years that I had to put to bed, that I started working on in New York in like 2018 or something, that was like, I just thought the idea of bees, like their stingers falling off, like being more like men and penises falling off. Like, mm-hmm. I just like liked that idea, but I didn't really have the joke. And I listened back to the first time I did it, which was at the Creek in the Cave in New mm-hmm. York, which is a 3-minute mic, which Shitty Mic is based off mm-hmm. of. And I heard, do you know Usama Siddiqui?
I know Ali Siddiq.
No, different Indian
guy.
Don't
you love it when you're like, hey, you know this ethnic comedian? And you're like, I know someone with a similar sounding name.
Yeah.
is that the guy?
Is that the same guy? No, you fucking racist.
Maybe I'm racist. I don't know anymore. Like, nothing means anything.
I know. The more I do this podcast, the more I'm like, fuck. Like, mm-hmm. what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Because there's almost always a racist joke.
Well, that's not... Yeah. And if... If the black people are laughing, and usually the black people are laughing and then other people aren't.
Then I
think it's fine.
Yeah, that is fine. I have the most recent song I wrote, I make a joke about like when you are walking down the street and there's like someone following you or like someone close to you. So you're like, okay, I'm going to cross the street. And then you look back across the street and you see that he's black and you're like, fuck, I'm racist. Uh-huh. Like,
yeah.
It takes... If there's a black person in the audience, they laugh immediately and then everyone else laughs.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's not, like, it takes people a second and they're like, am I allowed to laugh at this? Like,
I would say if there's not a single black person, I still instinctively just don't, I won't touch it typically. Unless, I might, but like usually I just don't even think of it. Because usually I don't like write the racist stuff.
Right.
It just comes, last night, the show where I went too far, I started by...
I went too far.
I started with this riff about the comedian before me. I forgot his name.
What do you look like? Oh, you don't know.
Half, ethnic. Very awesome guy. Funny.
Does he live here?
He's newer. I think he lives here. I think he just started. I'm going to find his name. He's half Ethiopian, half some other country. Maybe Inoa?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah. So he was talking about his background, and he's like half this and half that.
Yeah, he's from Denmark.
Yeah. And I, but he doesn't look like that. So
just say it straight up, Jordan.
So I go on stage, and I just start by being like, I feel like I'm the whitest guy on this lineup. The last comedian was like, my mom's from Tanzania and my dad's from black or whatever.
That's funny.
It's funny, but I like, and he thought it was, he loved it.
Yeah.
So, but it starting with that tone, I don't know. There's some compulsion in me.
Especially, I like that it's a compulsion.
It really is.
I like that you're like, I want to see how far this audience can go.
I used to not do any dark stuff, and now I feel like I'm in my like college bisexual phase of like I'm flirting with it, and I'm trying to figure out like, is it just if I just been masking that I don't like it and I actually love it and that's what I want to do, you know? I'm trying to figure out, it's like figuring out if you're gay. It's like very core to your identity, like what kind of comedy you actually want to do. But like, I don't know, people could get offended. I'm sorry if anyone is offended that I said the word black, you know. I think it's, I don't even know what's funny about a mother from black. I think because it's ironic.
Yeah.
You know, it's what would a dumb white guy say?
Exactly. Like, I think that's something that can go over people's heads. I'd say in any non-English speaking country where English is the second language or the shared language, right? Which is, there's this level of irony beyond what you're saying, mm-hmm. which is, I try not to be racist, right? Mm-hmm. But like at the end of the day, like we can't help, like it's Avenue Q, like yeah. everyone's a little bit racist, you know?
I'm face blind, so I only see color.
That's funny. Okay, so tell me more about being face blind. I'm sorry. I can't not ask. You know, there's a comedian who's face blind, MC Hammersmith.
MC Hammersmith. I'm gonna write that down.
He's also musical, actually, if you couldn't tell by his comedy name. But he's a Scottish guy who does like freestyle rap comedy, and he does this bit where he has everyone in the audience like hold up an item, and he'll go around and like, you know, he's coming up with it on the spot because he's picky. He's
really
brilliant.
Impressive.
He's super impressive, but he's also face blind. Mm-hmm. And James Regal brought him to Ibiza at one point. And so James like knows him, and he was like, "Hey man, what's up?" And he was like, "Hey, sorry, I'm face blind. Who are you?"
Yeah. It's, in a lot of ways, stand up is like the worst business to be in if you're face blind, because you meet so many people, and you will have repeat people at shows.
Yeah,
and like you got to make a real effort. It's a little bit like being,
but that's also kind of a blessing, because then you can just tell audience members, just be like, "Sorry, I'm face blind."
Yeah, I refer to people by the countries they're from sometimes.
Cool.
As a thing. Someone told me that was offensive. I don't think so.
No.
But it's a little bit like being autistic or anything else, where you develop a skill set to get over it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't affect me much. I recognize features, voices, really good at recognizing. But if somebody changes their hair or grows a beard, I got to start over.
Shit. Yeah. That is wild. What does a face look like to you?
Faces, it's a memory thing. So faces, how people memorize faces, they recognize a gestalt, like a whole unit.
Mm-hmm. The face. Oh my God, the same guy is back.
He's back. Hello. Hello, sir. I'm going to take a selfie with him.
Yeah, do it.
Awesome.
I'll try and get that in post.
What was the question?
What do faces look like?
They look like faces. It's more just like I tend to notice features a lot more. So eyes, noses, eyebrows, anything, hair. So Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta was just watching that. Just looks like a little boy to me, for instance. There needs to be hair. I had a girlfriend who was like, I think I'm gonna shave my head, and I was like, it's your body, but please no. You're gonna look like a little boy to me.
How do you find like the way that you're attracted to people is different?
I think so. I'm attracted to more unique faces. Like standardly very attractive people just look like stock images to me, basically. If there's something distinctive about it, it's kind of interchangeable. So I tend not to be attracted to like standardly hot people. There needs to be something going on, like something cartoony.
Yeah, like a big old Junos.
Like a big old Junos. Adorable. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's funny. People are always like, you look like they, whenever people tell me I look like someone, they just come up with a Jewish celebrity. They're like, oh, you look like Barbara Streisand. I'm like, I don't really, but thank you. I'll take it. Do people ever tell you you look like anyone?
Ben Shapiro, which I take offense to.
I would too.
Yeah.
Why would people say that to you? That's so mean.
I think because I do this thing where like I get kind of intense.
Oh, and I see it in the video.
I also like to explain stuff. And sometimes I'm not right about the things I explain. So there's a lot of commonalities. Small head, maybe.
You do have a small head. Yeah. I was thinking that actually the other day, but I wasn't going to say it because I feel like that's kind of rude to say.
It's not rude. I mean, we're comics. You can say. I don't give a shit.
I was like, if I were roasting him, I would totally make fun of his tiny head.
I used to do bits about having a small head.
And really?
But I found that women would become instantly not attracted to me anymore.
That's mean. Women.
Well, that's not, it's not their fault. Just one person came up to me after the show, and she literally said to me, like, you know, I thought you were really cute until you mentioned you had a small head, and now that's all I can see.
Which I can't believe she said that.
I should start doing it again, because it doesn't, I don't need women to be attracted to me. No. I just want to be funny.
So, yeah. Yeah. I think also, like, own your features, you know, mm-hmm. like, if someone was like, because I point out my nose on stage, which I don't even think is that big, mm. but if someone was like, oh, I thought you were hot until you talked about your nose, now I'm like, oh yeah, it is really big, I'd be like, okay, fuck you.
I think if you say it to a woman, it's somehow way worse. I don't know. It feels worse.
Yeah. It is worse.
Yeah, maybe because men don't deserve any kind of leeway. But, yeah. I had one bit about it that doesn't even make sense. That I have like broad shoulders and like like, so I'm kind of like a reverse lollipop, which doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but it does.
And I looked better in glasses, I think, because it like it made my head look bigger somehow.
Yeah, magnified. Glasses are magnifiers. Yeah.
And someone told me, like, you looked a lot better with glasses. I got laser eye surgery, so I don't wear them anymore. And she was like, you should just wear fake glasses with fake lenses. And I think you look better. And my bit about that was, that's like if somebody was paralyzed and then they started to be able to walk again. And you're like, you looked really hot in that wheelchair. You shouldn't roll around. One of those bad boys. Yeah. I think it would help your look, the wheelchair.
It's a very good comparison.
Yeah, I think they're the same.
Yeah, it's definitely the same.
It's 1-to-1.
You could get blue light. I wear blue light glasses while I work.
Mm. I don't like having stuff on my face.
That's fair.
It's like I love the freedom of it's.
And also, you got laser eye surgery. Like, don't fucking wear glasses.
Do you have?
No, I have perfect
vision.
Eyesight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laser eye surgery was the best money I ever spent, because it's you're disabled. You know, I wake up, I couldn't see shit.
Oh my god, you already couldn't see faces. Then you couldn't just see anything.
Couldn't see anything. Yeah, just blurs. Oh my god, it's amazing that we live. This is gonna get a little Joe Rogan-y. that we live in a.
That's what we aspire to be, the Joe Rogan podcast in Barcelona.
It's talking about elk meat. It's amazing we live in a society where I can spend 2,000 euros to completely fix my vision with no side effects.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
And it is.
We can fly places cheaply. Like, we've only been able to fly in the past 100 years.
Yeah.
And now anyone with $50 can get on Ryanair, Wizz Air. It's pretty great.
It is. It is amazing. Lucky. We are lucky. Yeah. We're very lucky. What's been like, because you tour a lot. Mm-hmm. You've been to Barcelona a few mm-hmm. times. What's like one of your favorite things about traveling and maybe our scene too?
Different kinds of audiences are great. My favorite audiences are Barcelona.
Yes.
In the world. I think they're the best audiences. Yeah.
Nice.
And I think the more there's a scene here too, the smarter mm-hmm. they get. Like, even mm-hmm. coming here, last time I was here was a year ago.
Yeah.
Even in that year, I feel like the comedians have all gotten better and the audiences are like smarter. And I feel like they're getting it and they're not laughing at stuff that shouldn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's super useful.
Yeah, yeah. They're quite good audiences. And it's true, because there have been people who, audience members who, like, I recognize, right? Mm. I've been seeing them around for a year or two, and they've been coming back to shows, and they know us, and they know our jokes, and they really do, like, help us level up and help us write. Because, you know, it's not New York. It's not an endless audience. And we do get tourists that only come once, but it really is helpful to have people that see you multiple times and can see you grow with your jokes, and then they're like, play the hits. Like, they'll be like, oh, I love that joke you do about this, just do it. And it's like, cool, like, that's fun too.
If a joke is great, it's like a song. Like, you can hear it multiple times and
totally.
It works. But also, there's very few better feelings, maybe vaping, few better feelings
nicotine.
Than having a really hot room and just being able to riff and just finding new stuff in the moment. You can't do that with a room that's cold.
Yeah.
Like, if you just have to do the stuff that is rock solid, you don't get the play.
Yeah.
So if you're in a really hot room, that some of those jokes that didn't work from the riff might not work in a regular room, but like, you wouldn't find them if you didn't have that energy in the space to be able to play around. I saw Michelle Wolf on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like working out her new hour. Mm-hmm. And like, so great to see her just, you know, using the energy to find like what's working and like, okay, I'm going to go further with this. I'm going to do this. And yeah, like, and if something's not working, she's like, okay, I'll register that. Yeah,
it's really fun to see Michelle work because she's true, like she's a pro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun because I think the last special she put out was after she lived here.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the jokes in her special, I'm like, I remember when she first wrote that joke and it totally bombed. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen Michelle Wolf not bomb. She doesn't totally bomb, but I've seen her not get the response that she gets
mm-hmm.
in a taped special because mm-hmm. she's working through the jokes and she's like, okay, that didn't work. And then she yeah. just.
It's a process. You have to bomb. If you're not bombing, you're not trying stuff.
Yeah.
There's no comedian that. Maybe John Mulaney. I don't know.
Yeah.
Almost no comedian that.
I heard that John Mulaney's always on, though, in conversation. Yeah. So he probably just comes up with bits while he's talking to uh-huh. people, which is, like, honestly the worst.
I do that. I was in, like, kind of a relationship, kind of a not necessarily romantic, but mostly, like, kind of a muse-type relationship where hanging out with her. Her background is so interesting and she's like such a unique person that when I'm around her, I would just think of a bunch of funny riffs and like she would tell me stuff about her being Muslim and shit like that. And like, cool. I was like, I can use that. So when we hang out, I would just constantly just be writing things in my notepad and she's fine with it. You know?
Cool.
But I can see that being pretty annoying.
Yeah. No, it's fun though. It can be fun as long as you're not like, I don't know. As long as you're kind of funny, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you're not mean.
Yeah. What is your writing process?
Have thoughts. Write them in my notes app
mm-hmm.
on my phone. And then before mics, I spend a couple hours just like writing down. I got some notebooks here. These aren't nice. For show and tell necessarily, but.
You mean I can't read your intimate notebooks?
Well, you can't see shit.
Yeah, that's so weird that it doesn't come up.
But basically write down all the stuff I've written in my notes that uh-huh. I think might work and then select ones that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll start to maybe walk around and talk through it or sometimes type it out. But usually I'll just get in the shower and I'll like go through the bit.
Showers are magical.
Yeah. Like an insane person just like and like have my phone just a wet phone like trying nice. To type the ideas so don't forget them. And then just try it out in the show. And
nice.
Then and then set lists. These are mostly set lists. Yeah.
Cool.
And then
love that.
And then you find connections between bits and that's fun.
Yeah. It's very satisfying. Yeah. Very satisfying. Cool. Well, we are coming up on the end. There's a couple things that I like to definitely hit. The first is like, who are your comedic inspirations and like your favorite comedians right now, whether local or famous or.
Okay. Huge fan of Jamie Lerner. I think she's definitely
on her way
to fame.
You're the first person who said that.
I was right there.
I know. I'm like, come on, guys. Yeah. Come on.
Let's see. No, you are great, though.
Oh, thank you.
A lot
you
of
are
comedians
too.
Here. The ones here, I like Luis, Hector, yeah. Kyla.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. And you missed her on this trip.
I did. Very sad about
she's traveling
that.
A lot now. She's mm-hmm. starting to really get work, like in London mm-hmm. and Ireland and
yeah.
everywhere.
It's good. I'm
it's
happy
awesome.
For her.
Yeah.
I'm mad that she's not here when I'm here, but whatever.
Whatever.
I'll get over it.
You'll have to find her.
Yeah. Ewan in the scenes, really?
Yeah.
I've only seen him once.
You'll see him tonight.
The most unique, insane shit I've probably ever seen.
Yeah. We're coming up with something really fun for April Fool's Shitty tonight.
Nice.
So.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It was wild to see him the first time. I was like, what the fuck is happening? And like, and I was coming at it from like a stand-up lens.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't laughing. I was just appreciating, but everyone yeah. else was. And yeah. I was just sort of like, this is a learning experience for me. How is he doing this?
Yeah.
But
his brain is so weird.
Yeah.
Like, I love comedians where you can like really appreciate their brain.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many open mics at this point, just hundreds and hundreds, that like I like to watch unique stuff.
Yeah.
I get a lot more out of that than stuff that that I kind of, I see, if I see the structure of it too much,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, all right, well, what else we got? But famous-y, super famous comedians. Sure. Nate Bargatze
I've been
into lately.
I can see that for you. Yeah. He's got that sort of like Midwest American thing.
Yeah. I'm in like a little crisis. Am I a Nate Bargatze type, a Norm Macdonald type, or an Anthony Jeselnik type? And those are very different comedians.
Yeah, but so. You can be all of them. And then one day people are going to be like, am I a Jordan Thomas Gray type? Like, am I a...
Maya Jamie Lerner.
Exactly.
Nate Bargatze, Louis C.K., of course.
You know he came through here.
He did? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd Barry came to visit Warsaw a while back and just did all the mics. Just an awesome, like, comic.
Amazing.
I got a couple other names in my head. Give me 2 seconds. One, two. No, I'm just counting instead of thinking of the names.
I'll count. One. Two.
Oh, that's distracting.
Three.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay. Fuck.
It's okay.
I have a list.
You have a list.
If we have a little bit of time.
Sure.
Because this is important to you. But
I just kind of like it because I think a lot of the people that are listening are fellow comedians mm-hmm. and people who really appreciate comedy, and so it's always nice to just get a couple. But you listed some good names, so it's, you know.
Rory Scovel.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Bo Burnham, of course.
Oh, Bo Burnham.
Part of why I'm doing stand-up is I watched Inside while I was working a job. It was making me miserable. And I was like, this guy put together this amazing thing in the mm-hmm. past year. What did I do this past year? I worked. That's all I did. And that really pushed me into doing stand-up. Rory Scovel.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a more southern Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really, really fun. More absurd.
Okay.
James Acaster. Fucking, do you know who that is?
Yeah, of course.
British, yeah. Sorry.
Are you mansplaining James Acaster?
Some people don't know.
That's weird because he has Netflix specials. He has mm-hmm. like multiple, and I love his podcast Off Menu.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he's so good with Ed Gamble. He's I think one of the smartest comedians working.
So smart.
The structure, he has a 4-hour special where it's all interconnected and it's all
insane.
Great. Did you see Cold Lasagna, Hate Myself, 1999?
That I did not.
Fantastic.
Okay, I'll watch it.
It's 2 hours, and it's just bangers all the way through.
He's
it
so
is amazing.
Good. He is yeah. so good. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I was just gonna say the Bo Burnham Inside thing. I kind of had the same feeling where I was like, I had been doing comedy, and I was like, not really during COVID, and I was like, how is anything I ever do now going to make any difference when something like Inside is there? I was like, I love Bo Burnham, but you've just set the bar so high.
It's intimidating.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, right. But you're also like rich and famous and have all the resources in the world. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to work during COVID. You can literally just live in a little studio that you have access to mm-hmm. because you're already rich.
Mm-hmm.
And just fucking.
And he started at 17 and he's had many, many years.
Yeah.
To, and super smart guy. Going to call Brilliant. Out in Warsaw. Ariel Bielski.
What? Say it again. Sorry.
Ariel Bielski.
Ariel Bielski.
Very funny, very tall guy. Kamal Gerard is a guy who tours with me sometimes.
Nice.
Super funny. Yeah. Next question.
Nice. Yeah, love it. And then the last question I always love to get to is, what would your advice be to any new comedians?
Yes. I think it was, I don't know who said this. Maybe Anthony Jeselnik said, any comedian that gives advice is just telling comedians how to be more like themselves.
Mm.
So I think it's a very personal thing. The only advice when people ask that I give these days is record your set, watch it back. It's going to be brutal. Pay attention to when they're not laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Cut that stuff out. If it's not worked 2 or 3 times, keep the stuff that's working. The rest is, yeah.
Yeah.
Just edit, generate and test. A lot of new comedians will do the same set over and over again.
Yeah.
Even when things that aren't working, editing is like the main part of it. Like you got to generate mm-hmm. ideas, test them out. So if you're new, just try a bunch of new stuff. Literally just have fun. Try things. Watch good stand up and then force yourself to grit your teeth and watch your sets and really be brutal with cutting the stuff that's not working. And then come back to that stuff maybe later.
Yeah.
Because you don't even know what your voice is yet when you're starting.
Exactly.
So why would you polish one set if you don't know what it is that you're trying to do yet?
Mm.
It takes time and trying a lot of different stuff to figure out what you like.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm an ironic racist misogynist, and maybe that's my thing, and I have to accept that.
No, you're not. You are not. Ironically, maybe.
Ironically, it's odds are high.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, this has been really, really nice.
It's been nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan.
Looking forward to tonight.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll see you around the scene sometime soon.
Absolutely.
I don't know when this episode is going to drop, to be honest. I'm banking a few because I'm going to be traveling a bit.
So my Shmingus Dingus reference is going to be way dated.
Yeah. But it's never too late to learn about Shmingus Dingus.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.